So, you see, what I'm saying is, verse 9, the blessing, this happiness, then meant only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised. We say that faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the mark of circumcision as a token or an evidence or seal of the righteousness which he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Faith that he was to be made the father of all who truly believe, though without circumcision, and who thus have righteousness or right standing with God imputed to them and credited to their account, as well as to make him the father of those circumcised persons who are not merely circumcised, but also walk in the way of that faith, which our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham, verse 13, or his prosperity, that he should inherit the world, did not come through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And it's confirmed in Genesis 17, 4 through 6, Genesis 22, verses 16 through 18. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, then faith is made futile and empty of all meaning, and the promise of God is made void, is annulled, and has no power. For the law results in divine wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression of it either. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace or unmerited favor to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, which is the Jew, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. That includes the Israelites. Amen?
Amen.
That includes me. It is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many of you got dead people around you sometimes? They may be walking around, they may have legs and arms and doing all kinds of stuff, but you know they're dead. And you know that they don't even want to come to life. But God has a day for them as well. Amen?
Yeah.
And speaks of the non-existing things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. Genesis 17, verse 5. So Abraham was believing it, and I believe his name change was part of that deal. 18. Say, I'm holding on to this one, Lord.
I'm holding on to this one, Lord.
For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped on in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be, Genesis 15. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah, or the deadened womb, no unbelief or distrust made him waver. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly questioned concerning the promises of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Say, as for me.
As for me.
No unbelief.
Or distrust.
Will make me waver.
Or doubtingly question.
Concerning the promises of God for me. But I grow in faith.
I grow in strength.
As I'm empowered by faith.
And as I gave praise and glory to my Father and to God.
Fully satisfied and assured that God was able. See, the ability is not in us. So Abraham is our example. He's our father. Your father can be an example of what you and I are to do in order to have a victory that no other person was able to gain. Or no other person is worthy of receiving because of unbelief and because of fear and torment. When you and I walk away from fear and torment, we can believe. But when fear and torment is controlling us, what do we get? Logic. Logic is our defense.
Amen.
And it's ugly. And as you pointed out earlier, pride and arrogance steps in and gives you all kinds of reasonings why you didn't get blessed. Yeah. So the spirit of pride was also involved in another man that went through an incredible test. Job. He couldn't see it. But the king of pride was on the job. You can check that out in Job 41, 42, and you can see the results. God was after that spirit, and he wanted it dead. He wanted it removed from his dependency and for justifying. I don't want to go there right now because that's a whole different subject. Fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was accredited to him as righteousness or right standing with God. But the words, "it was accredited to him," were written not for him, not for his sake alone. Isn't that cool? But they were written for our sake as well. Righteous standing, acceptable to God, will be granted and accredited to me also, because I believe and I trust in and adhere to and rely on God who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead.
Amen.
That's where you see the power of resurrection. Available to each one of us. We can come out of the grave with this word. You can come out of your mental grave or your mental attitude about anything if you apply the same principle by literally speaking. If you don't speak, you get no creation.
Amen.
So there are times that you're going to walk around your house and you're going to have your hand up in the air and it's going to be your spiritual sword and you're going to cut down that which tries to pull you down or destroy you.
Amen.
And I know I'm preaching, but I'm preaching to me too. I'm not preaching just to you. And I know that this is ultimate so that we can cross that next level for not just this particular house of prayer, but for the saints that are waiting for us to grow up.
Amen.
He's looking for us to grow up and to mature. And by golly, I can't mature myself. But corporately, we can sustain and carry each other until we get to the finish line, like we did this morning. I saw some giggles coming out of some of you. Why? Because there was hope created. Mm-hmm. But that hope will die if it is not sustained. Verse 25, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, to make our account balance, absolving us from all guilt before God. I am absolved of all guilt before God.
Amen. I am righteous.
Take it to the bank.
Amen.
You know how many times I have decreed to my own self, Romans 5:9, I am justified in the courts of heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am justified. Whoa! To reflect verse 24. But they were written for our sake too. Righteousness standing acceptable to God will be granted and accredited to us who believe, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification. He was raised to secure my justification. Repeat it with me. Say, he was raised to secure for me
my justification,
my acquittal,
and to make my account
and balance.
All absolving.
From all guilt.
Before God.
And it may not be before men, because men will still push buttons.
Amen.
The devil may still push buttons, but the one who's going to judge you is God. And the righteous judge is
Jesus.
Our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
These words have gone in now.
These words have gone in now.
I need to rehearse them. Press me to wake up.
And to declare.
Openly.
As my confession.
That I have been absolved.
Acquitted.
And really held without guilt.
Before my God and Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a gift. That's what I got.
And the question is raised of how do you maintain that hope and faith, which is answered in the next chapter.
Yes, they are. Yeah, well, for today we'll go now, but chapter 5 is a must. Yes, I agree. Share some hugs and love with each other.